Electric Aircraft, the Experimental Aircraft Association, works to make them more practical. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Earl Lawrence, who is the Vice President for Industry and Regulatory Affairs for the Experimental Aircraft Association. And what I wanted to talk to Earl about today and let you listen in on is a discussion about electric aircraft. And Earl, there was a press release back on April 26th that EAA has filed a petition with the FAA for some regulatory changes to accommodate electric aircraft. First of all, for those of our listeners who did not make it to Oshkosh, tell us about the developments that happened there in 2007, because, frankly, I was blown away.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, every year we have more folks producing aircraft that are electric and may not realize. And what happened at last year's Air Venture Oshkosh is that one company, Sonix, unveiled their electric home-built aircraft, and quite an exciting thing, and it's really prompted a lot of folks to start thinking that this may relate to home building and those of us who fly, because certainly there's been Boeing and other entities have introduced or working on electric aircraft, but it was the first time that somebody actually showed up with a home-built and said, and let's go flying. And then also, in addition to that, we had a flying weight shift ultralight flying around the convention site, and that was another one of those things that got everybody, we can have electric aircraft. So it's really prompted a lot of discussion, and people who have been thinking about it are just now moving forward with more vigor than ever.
Well, and the Sonix aircraft on display with the cutaway was really, really fascinating to see. But the thing that was incredible to me is the Electroflyer was out there flying, and if I understand correctly, the specifications are you plug it in overnight and it's good for an hour.
Oh, absolutely, and you don't even have to plug it in overnight. You know, it's the kind of thing that you know. It all depends on the controllers you have for charging it. But that's the type of aircraft where the Electroflyer could put a solar cell up on your hangar or your roof or something, and the airplane could charge all day, and then after work you can go flying.
Well, and you know, no oil changes. You know, no carb heat. You know, FADEC. What's that?
Yep.
I mean, it would just be a liberating thing if we could all fly that way. And as far as, you know, noise abatement, that's the ultimate thing.
It's the ultimate. It's a quiet flight. It's more efficient. And things that people don't think about, it would really kind of change. You wouldn't put a normal propeller on, for example. And, you know, a reciprocating engine, when it's rated at a particular horsepower, that's at a certain RPM. Well, for electric motors, many of them have full torque at the absolute lowest RPM. So you can do different things, have more efficient ways of pushing air past the aircraft. Think ducted fans and things like that.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about how it might change our lives, but I wanted to also ask you specifically about EAA's petition on two fronts. First of all, the Electroflyer was already there flying last year as an ultralight. What kind of regulatory changes are needed, even needed for Part 103, to encourage the promotion of electric ultralight aircraft?
Sure. On 103 aircraft, they're very limited. You don't have that full hour on a 103 legal aircraft. And part of the issue is you look at ultralight rules, and you're allowed to have 5 gallons of fuel on board. Well, you know, 5 times 6, okay, so you've got all that extra weight for fuel. Well, what's fuel for your electric aircraft?
Exactly.
And so really that's where we're going at is, wait a second here, we're being penalized now because we're going to an electric aircraft. And it's not that the aircraft is really carrying any different amount of weight, it's just that when the rule was written, there was no concept that your fuel may be batteries.
If that follows through, then I guess the solution would be to add 30 pounds to the 254 and allow 284. Is that essentially that the thrust of EAA's petition?
That's part of it. We've actually asked for a little bit more weight, and the basis for the weight that we've asked for is we took the electric flyer that's already out there with lithium-ion batteries, okay, so the newer technology batteries, and we've asked for the equivalent time of operation as a legal 103 ultralight would be with its 5 gallons of fuel. which means it would need batteries of more than 30 pounds. And so we've asked for a little bit more weight than that, but that's what it was patterned off of. Okay, if 5 gallons of fuel and a typical, one place, 103 legal ultralight can get you X amount of time of flight, why don't we allow the batteries to be installed? And that's why it's an equivalent, and that's why it's an exemption right now. We're not asking for a rule change of 103. Because we expect the weight of batteries and motors and everything to come down, and we don't know where that's going to stay at, but let's create an environment where people can experiment and fly them around for reasonable periods of time. So let's make it practical now. We can do that.
If the aircraft that result from building them in current Part 103 legal fashion results in an aircraft that's not very useful, not much experimentation will get done. So it certainly is in the long-term interest of the sport and in aviation in general to allow some form of these to come out that people actually will embrace.
Absolutely.
Earl, we need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the other side of the EAA petition to the FAA, and that has to do with light sport aircraft with electric motors. My guest is Earl Lawrence, who is the VP for Industry and Regulatory Affairs for the Experimental Aircraft Association. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Earl Lawrence, who is the EAA's VP for Industry and Regulatory Affairs. Earl, we talked in the last few minutes about the Part 103 ultralight side of things as far as electric aircraft go. What is the EAA asking outside of Part 103? Because it would seem there would be already avenues available to pursue electric aircraft if you wanted to.
Well, if you want to build an amateur-built aircraft today that has an electric motor, you can. What we've asked to change is the SLSA rules, the Special Light Sport Aircraft rules, because a light sport aircraft is defined as an aircraft in Part 1 of the FARs that must have a reciprocating engine. Electric motors are not reciprocating engines, and so it's actually not within the definition. So a sport pilot couldn't fly an electric-powered aircraft. A marketer or a light sport manufacturer couldn't bring to market an electric aircraft. And we think they could today with current technologies if allowed legally.
Well, and when you think about it, given what the mission of LSA was, if anything, an electric aircraft would meet the spirit of the rule more than any reciprocating engine would.
Absolutely. And we look at it today with the cost of fuel where it is and all the difficulty in getting what we call aviation-appropriate fuel is threatened. And, that's the non-ethanol fuel, which is what we need to legally fly our aircraft. Just affordability and access to general aviation is a difficult thing. An electric aircraft could really be a great breakthrough on that. And interestingly enough, on the original MPRM for the sport pilot rule, it included electric motors, and that was a comment that EAA, something we had asked for, and in the final rule it was removed, and the justification was we don't have any right now, and we don't want people putting rockets and jets on the light sport aircraft, and so we thought that was kind of not a very good reason in the final rule for not including them, and since it was included in the original rule that they were going to allow electric, we're saying now's the time to do it. We have electric aircraft flying, so let's change it. Let's enable it today.
You know, there are any number of rapid corners that we've turned in technology where the regulatory agencies have had a hard time keeping up with technology and public demand. Is this just another one of those?
I think it is. It really is one of those things where they have to keep up with it. And, you know, that's where EAA can be a big help in this. You know, we have the ability, we work with the agency, and that's what we're trying to achieve here is work in partnership and make a regulatory framework here. And one of the things that we haven't talked about is by enabling it in light sport aircraft, that means an ASTM standard has to be written for electric motors. And then now we'll have an international standard for electric aircraft motors, at least, and probably even motor controllers. And, you know, the significance of that is type certified aircraft. What are they going to do? There is no regulation for an electric type certified motor either. They have reciprocating and jet. So here we're building the framework now, even for the larger aircraft. That certainly will take more time for them to become viable. But we want to remove those regulatory roadblocks. We want to help things move forward. And we think we can really do that with this exemption. And we hope the FAA thinks the same.
Well, now, this initiative by EAA was announced at the CAFE Foundation's 2008 Electric Aircraft Symposium. Tell us about what the CAFE Foundation is.
Oh, yes. The CAFE Foundation is a group that's been around for many years, and they work on innovation and have been very active in the home-built community, particularly earlier in their years, and EA helped get them started in testing and in promoting efficiency in small aircraft. And, you know, they've done a lot of good basic research going forward, finding things, innovating and finding technologies to make small aircraft and the personal aircraft better, more affordable for everyone. And this conference, which is bringing together really a world's quality group of folks that are all looking at electric motors right now and electric propulsion and aircraft. So it was the place to gather everybody together and talk about this in one time and to share the enthusiasm that we have for this and to get their feedback. And I think everybody who participated in that group, when we sent Mr. Craig Willen to that to represent the EAA, came back energized and just amazed at how far the technology has gone already.
Energized. You know, there's any number of ways to work puns into this conversation, Earl. That's number one. Well, tell us about Craig Willen a little bit. He was identified in the press release as an EAA Life member, and he was also obviously already on the speaker's agenda at the symposium. Who is Craig Willen?
Craig Willen is an entrepreneur himself, an engineer. He has his own firm, and he's a great EAA-er. Let's just start off there, and because he is an innovator and someone who cares about home building, and he's done many great things for our organization. I think everybody's familiar with Spaceship One, obviously, and he came to EAA and helped us fund our Spaceship One, you know, A, or whatever you want to call it, that's hanging in our museum and really helped bring that to fruition for us. So he's been a great donor for us, a leader in advising EAA on technologies and engineering aspects. And, he was just one of our many volunteers who's just been a great help to the organization and wants to see EA stay at the forefront of innovation and affordability and really sees electric aircraft as the future, as many of us do.
Well, Earl, thanks very much for taking a few moments out to talk to our listeners today, and we look forward to keeping on top of this.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate it.
My guest has been Earl Lawrence, who's the VP for Industry and Regulatory Affairs for the Experimental Aircraft Association. You can find out more at eaa.org. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.